So great to see you guys this morning. Appreciate you all being here. What a beautiful crowd. Great to see Pee-wee this morning, have his family here with us. We love you, my friend. I've been praying for you and for your family. What a beautiful congregation. I love my church family. There are three Christian virtues that we talk a lot about in church, and it's faith, hope, and love. We're going to kind of look at that. I know last week I spoke about faith. I'm out of order here. Now, I don't really have any intention to do a series or anything, but it's just what's on my heart this morning. But faith is the virtue that enables us to believe in God and believe that He's revealed to what He has revealed to us is truth, because He Himself is truth. Hope is the virtue by which we desire and seek our ultimate good and happiness, which is eternal life in the kingdom of heaven. And when everything else around us is going wrong, it's hope that keeps us focused on eternal life. And then love. Love may be a little bit more complicated. And I was thinking this week, I was preparing to kind of speak about this. It's been on my mind for at least a month. Lisa in the kids' class has been doing a long series on love. So if y'all have been in there helping her, y'all have heard quite a bit of this. I've heard it by way of just her prepping in my house. And so we've been in kind of the vein of love for a while. And I was looking the other night, I was thinking, I'll be honest, where I was at. I was at Music Bingo, where my bingo buddies at. I saw at least Randy's here with me this morning. All right. I was thinking about the great 80s rock ballad that asked the question, or not the question, I'm sorry, the statement just says, I want to know what love is. Me too. Anybody? Okay, for bonus points this morning, you beat me to it. Get this man a free donut. Y'all are charging other people, right? Free donut. He beat it. Foreigner. I didn't even get it out, man. I was setting it up for a name the band moment. TJ. I thought it was going to be Meredith who would get it first. But TJ says, I want to know what love is. I do too. Or how about, all right, Meredith, you got to set a beat for me. What is love? There you go. I knew. Meredith, my music buddy over here, we have discovered that we have the same awful taste in music. No, same age group. I'm far older than she is. Why would I say that in the microphone? So much younger than me. What is love? Love in our world and our society has just been kind of skewed, hasn't it? It's a word that has almost been kind of misaligned, and we live in our society today, this hyper-sexualized world, and so the concept of love is kind of been twisted a little bit, and it's such an important thing to learn as a virtue, a Christian virtue, and even a fruit of the Spirit. And honestly, the English language is almost a little lazy. How many of you have studied some foreign language? Everybody, right? How many of you have studied more than one foreign language here? Yeah, and I don't know any of it. I can't help you at all. I did Spanish because it was required. I did Greek in college, and I can't do any of it anymore. But what I have learned while studying foreign language is that English sometimes seems a little bit lazier of a language. There are many, many words, you know, in the Greek language, and they all get translated into one word, and you have to kind of decipher some of these things. But love is one of those where there are many, many words to describe different types of love. And in English, we just have love. And so you have statements where I say, you know, I love my wife, but I use the same word to describe how I feel about tacos. So I don't, you know, and it is a very deep love I have for. But, you know, I can say that. I can say, you know, I love me some good tacos. I was going to say coffee, but that's really, I don't want to blur the lines there because I deeply, deeply love coffee. But use the same exact word to describe the love you have. And we throw that around all the time. I say it all the time. Oh, I love that. I love it. And then you'd tell my wife, you know, I'm being very romantic, be like, I love you. Which sounds really great with the bronchitis voice this morning. It sounds even more romantic for some reason. But so, same word, different meanings, or at least different depths of meanings. In the Greek, there are four, you know, main words for love. There's many more in Greek, but in biblical use, and just four main words. Let's break it down into that. The first is the word storge, which is, C.S. Lewis described it as affection love. It's a familiar love, which, and I mean that in a family sense. This is a love, people that are bonded together with the bonds of family. This is a parent and child kind of love, and a child to parent kind of love. Lewis, in the book, The Four Loves, he said, this is responsible for 90% of all solid and lasting human happiness, is the love that falls into this category of the affection type of love that happens in family. There's also filial love, which is a friendship love. This is where we get the word Philadelphia. It's a love between friends, between people who share common values or activities or interests. This is, you're bound, you ever just get connected with somebody because they have a kindred spirit, right? This is it. You're just drawn to people. Lewis, it was interesting, and it's a great book if you want to really dive in way beyond the little bit we're going to talk about it this morning. The book that he wrote, The Four Loves, but he says this is really a missing kind of relationship and love today that we don't focus enough on. But he said that friendship is a journey, and it's a journey that is shared with people who have like things in common, hobbies or jobs or activities, or we have some shared goal, and this type of love between each other should be supporting each other on this journey. So this is a friendship bond kind of love. You have eros, which is your intimate. This is where we get the word erotic. This is your, you know, your sexual love with your spouse. And then finally we get to agape, which is the word that's used most in the New Testament to describe love. It is a godlike love or a sacrificial love. Some would call it an unconditional love, but it's a love that exists regardless of changing circumstances. So then the difficult question for me is, where do tacos line up on this list? It is very familiar to me, so maybe it's... But really, if you'd like to get in further in there, I love C.S. Lewis, great theologian, great writer, really an interesting take on the language study if you're interested in that kind of thing. But the question still remains, what is love? And why is it so important that we really get a good understanding of it? In Mark chapter 12, starting with verse 28, it says, "And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered him well, asked him," this is asking of Jesus, "which commandment is the most important of all?" I love this. This is almost like setting him up to fail, right? We're going to see which of the commandments he says is the most important, and maybe he'll name something that they can use against him later. And Jesus answers, he says, "The most important is this, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.'" And so we need to understand love. It's important. It's a commandment. It's part of our Christian life and the virtues there. And luckily, we have an entire chapter dedicated to really understanding love. 1 Corinthians 13 is often called the love chapter. It's many times, if you're familiar with it, you've probably heard it in weddings. It's all, you know, it's often recited as that, and that's appropriate. It's not just for that relationship, though. What I find most interesting about it is you have this chapter completely dedicated to describing the importance of love, the the practice of love, and it's right in the middle of chapter 12 and chapter 14, which are focusing on spiritual gifts. That's fascinating to me. Paul is teaching the Corinthians about spiritual gifts, and he pauses right in the middle of something very important, and he begins focusing on love. What was happening in Corinth was that they were operating in the gifts. They were operating in gifts of prophecy, and they were operating in the gifts of tongues, but they were doing so with an absence of love for one another. And they were really, it's meaningless at that point. It means absolutely nothing if you operate without love. And so Paul, he paused in the middle of it. This great teaching on the gifts of the Spirit. And he said, whoa, you guys need to understand what it is to love one another. And there's this main kind of theme that we understand here in Paul's teaching, and it's that giftedness with lovelessness is absolutely nothing. And the word used in this chapter, it is agape. It's this unconditional, and it's not based on a feeling. It's really a love that is chosen. I think that's really important, because there are sometimes people that I just don't feel like loving them, but I choose to. And this is love that's directed not just to our family, not just to our friends. This is to our neighbors and to strangers. And this is the commandment here. So we're just going to walk through this chapter. And I'm going to follow up with some questions here in a minute, some introspective. I listened to Pastor Parr's podcast. I didn't mean it to be so many P's in there, but I listened to this. And some of these questions are directly from him, and I did not like having to answer them myself. So I wanted to put you in that uncomfortable position so we could all be there together. Because sometimes you get asked questions that make you a little uncomfortable. And I went, ooh, that felt like it was directed right at me, and I didn't like that. And then I went, ooh, I should do that to someone else. No, I'm just kidding. I really think it's a useful exercise and look at this scripture. But if we begin in 1 Corinthians 13, looking at verse 1, it says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers, and we're just going to pause right there. If I can speak in the tongues of men and of angels, he's speaking again of the gifts of the Spirit. If I have prophetic powers, if I have the ability to actually prophesy, or if I have the ability, if I'm gifted behind the pulpit and can speak and preach the word and I can encourage others, but I don't have love, then I'm nothing. He says, everything that we say without love is nothing. Everything. It's completely worthless. Doesn't matter how gifted I am. If I operate without love for the people, then it's nothing. He goes on to say, if I understand all the mysteries and all knowledge, it doesn't matter how much you know. Everything that you know without love is nothing. It doesn't matter how many degrees you got hanging, how many diplomas you got on the wall, how many degrees you can have. You can have theology degrees coming out all over the place, and it doesn't matter if you don't have love. It is completely worthless, and it is nothing. And he says, if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. He says, all that we believe without love is nothing. Then he goes on to say, if I give it all away, if I give everything I have away, it's all that we give. All that we give. Are you seeing a theme here? It doesn't matter if we're not operating in love. And then he says, if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. It says, all that we do without love is nothing. It's worthless. He's setting the stage here on the priority of love, the importance of love, and just setting the stage of it is the most important. You can be the most educated person in the room. You can know the Bible front and back. You can be the most gifted person operating in gifts of the Spirit. But if you don't have love, it doesn't matter if you're the most generous. It doesn't matter if you're the most active in the community and active in helping people if it's without love. And then he goes on to the actual practice of, and I like practical things. So this is, what does biblical love look like in our day-to-day life and in our relationships? And this is where I started to get uncomfortable. Yay! It starts off very, very simply. Love is patient. And I've always liked to look at this as, oh, this is God towards me. And it is. It is. These are attributes of God's love as well. But it is more than that. It is, we are supposed to be following that example in our love towards others. And that's why Paul is teaching this to the church at this particular time and place in this teaching. So I want God to be very patient with me, yet I struggle with my patience with others. So the question, I immediately stop. We're three words in on this. I said, immediately have to stop and just say, am I patient? Do I have a short fuse? Can I handle when people irritate me? Can I handle when people, you know, upset me? Can I still operate in love? And you answer that yourself. This is not interaction time. Y'all are going to thank me for that in a little bit. This is just introspective. File this away. Maybe jot it down. Deal with it later. Love is patient. Love is kind. Can I show kindness even when it's not being reciprocated back to me? Is it genuinely inside of me? Or is it based on other things? Remember that we're talking about things that are not conditional. We're talking about making choices here. This is not I'll show kindness when someone is kind to me. No, it just flows from you because it is the love of God coming out of you. Can you have that kind of kindness? Then it says, love is not jealous. Can I celebrate other people when God blesses them? Even with the very thing I want for myself. I don't like that one. Can I? Be honest with yourselves. Think about your heart for a moment. And I realize there's two different aspects of jealousy. There is, I want what you have, and then there's a deeper one that says, I want what you have, and I don't want you to have it. So can I really celebrate when God blesses other people, when I'm not being blessed? Can I celebrate with them? Can I rejoice with them? Can I really, truly rejoice that God's doing something for them while I'm struggling still, while I'm maybe not being blessed? Someone else gets a financial blessing, and I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills this month. Can I still rejoice that God is good? Then he says, love is not boastful or proud. This is kind of the other side of jealousy. Can I refrain from boasting to other people about my life that may invoke jealousy in them? The kids got a good lesson in this in the Sunday school classroom too. And she says, then he says, love is not rude. But what if I was just being funny? Not that I've ever said that to my spouse, but can you show that kind of kindness and not be rude? It's a great test. If you're single, if you're dating somebody, how do they treat people that are maybe a little under them? I like the wait staff test for folks, you know? Yeah, there have been many people that have lost some of my respect in how they've treated, you know, wait staff and things, but just being rude. Show kindness, and then I'd be so embarrassed, and I'd have to tell them, you know, we're from, and I'd say some different church, not the one we were at, Sunday afternoon, like, we are not from Journey Fellowship, obviously. It's embarrassing, but it's also like, where is your kindness? Where is your love? He goes on to say, love doesn't demand its own way. Can I look out for the best interest of this person, even when they are disregarding mine. It doesn't push for its own way in every situation. It's really looking out for the best outcome, even if it's not my outcome, the one that I want. Love is not irritable or easily angered. Oh, we're back to that again. He had to mention that twice. I think they did that for me. Do people have to walk on eggshells around you because they're always scared of how much you say the wrong thing and you're irritable? Like, oh my goodness. It's not my fault. He's a loud chewer. It's not my fault. You know, and it's like deflecting everybody. It's not that I'm irritable. It's that they're irritating. No, 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 no. We choose. We're making choices here. We're making choices. We're choosing to love. We're choosing to not be easily angered. It says love keeps no record of wrongs. Well, I don't like that one at all either. Man, another one. I may have to mark this one out of here. I don't like that. I'm going to have my Bible with Justin revisions. I'll be like, that must have been for somebody else. Keeps no records of wrong. Can I genuinely forgive someone without keeping a secret ledger of how this person mistreated me in hopes of bringing it up later to boost my own position? That was when I paused the video and said, maybe this isn't for me. Maybe this podcast is for somebody else. But, no record of wrong. We want this for other people. We want to be forgiven and forgotten. We want this for our Savior when He forgives us. We love the scripture that says, you know, that He cast my sin as far as the east is from the west, that into the sea of forgetfulness. We love those kind of things. And then it comes to us and we go, I am making a note of what you did to me. Oh no, I forgave him. But I'm going to write it down near here and I'm going to remember it. And later when we have a fight, it's going to come back up. It might be 4 years or 5 years. And so, you know, we want to receive this kind of love. We want to receive this kind of forgiveness. We just have a hard time giving it away because it's difficult. Because it's really, really difficult. But godly love, agape love, keeps no record of wrongs. And then it finally says, love does not delight in evil. Some translations would say injustice, but it rejoices when truth wins out. It doesn't ever, ever delight in evil. The question that this pastor asked, said, am I secretly happy when something negative happens to someone that I dislike? Because that would be rejoicing in evil. That would not be godly love. You think when I fail, which happens often, do you think when I sin that God is looking down on me going, good, he deserves that. That's exactly what should have happened to him. He's not lit. I gave him this whole book of instructions, and he failed. And then I have to live with a consequence. You think he's going good? He sinned against me, so and it's that look on his face, too, I'm sure. Because that's the look that I have when something happens to somebody who has wronged me. But no, it doesn't. Love doesn't delight in evil and wrong. It rejoices when truth wins out. And then in verse 7, Paul, he moves into really a section. It's the permanence of love. It's the endurance, the durability. He says, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. The word here that's translated bears, it means protects. Love protects. So can I protect somebody? Can I protect somebody from harm, from negative exposure? Do I have their back? This is what love is. This is what godly love is. And can I believe all things? Can I believe the best about somebody? when people have given up on them or when they've given up on themselves? Can I love them and encourage them when they've given up on themselves? And it says, love hopes all things. Can I still maintain hope for this person and for God working in their life and endures all things? Can I endure the ups and downs of a relationship and stay committed? Now, those who love, who choose, and I use the word often here, choose to love like Jesus, they don't stop loving when life gets difficult. Love for God and love for others, it endures through tough times. God loves you through all your tough times. He loved me through all my tough times. And we're supposed to love each other. And sometimes I'm difficult to love. It's true. It's true. My wife told me that one time. I said, I'm glad you realize this. She told me, she goes, I realize I have been difficult to love. I went, oh, really? I didn't notice. I love you too much. Well, yes. But I still love you because I choose to. And sometimes, even with my friends, I'm difficult to love. And I know God has still continued to love me. And that's this example we have here of God, of His enduring love for His people. And then we see verse 8 says, love never ends. It never quits, never surrenders, never gives up. And He has never given up on me. Verse 13, so now faith, hope, and love abide, but these three, but the greatest is love. I want to move over real quick. We're going to leave 1 Corinthians, and we're going to jump to 1 John chapter 4, 7 through 12. It says, beloved. Why is this concept? Why is this study so important for us? Let us love one another. For love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Because God is love. Why don't we invite the band back up this morning? In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the payment for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. I love this. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God abides in us. That's how people see God, through us. Through our love that we show for each other. No one's ever seen God, but if we love one another, God abides in us. And then this is the moment where and His love is perfected in us. It's already perfect. What do you mean perfected? Oh, no. It's come into fulfillment. It's come into fruition, and it is completed in us. The whole work of His love is perfected. It is completed. It comes full circle in us in how we love each other. Not just our family, not just those who are our friends, not just those who worship with us on Sunday, but everyone around us, our neighbors, our strangers. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected. Oh, I love that scripture. I love that scripture. This morning, we asked some hard questions that you may have to chew on a little while about how you love people, about how you show the love of God that has been given to you freely. Unconditionally, there's a reason like the King James Version translated as charity, because charity is something that it is given out that is not really, it's not reciprocated, right? I don't give to a charity and think I'm giving that because I'm going to get back, right? No, it's very one way. It's very one way. And in the King James, this whole chapter speaking about love, it translates agape as charitable love, as it's a sacrificial kind of love. And that's the love that God has for us, that He gave really undeserving to us. I didn't do anything to deserve it. You didn't do anything to deserve it. And we have to learn to love like that to other people. Love that maybe doesn't get reciprocated back to us, but we love because God loved us, and because God is love, and because we know that His love, it abides in us and it is perfected in us. Would you stand with me this morning? Let's pray together. Lord, I am so thankful for Your love that's been poured out to us. So thankful for Jesus, sacrificing for the love for us. I pray this morning that as Your people, as Your followers, and as Your church body, Lord, that we could love well. Lord, that we could embody that agape love. Lord, and that people would know us by our love. They would know us, Lord, and they would see how we are with people, how much we love, and they would say, they've been with Jesus. Those are the people of God. Those are the followers of God. That it would be a distinction amongst us. Help us, Lord. Help us love when love is hard. Help us love people that are sometimes difficult to love, God. But we choose this morning because You chose to love us. And we want to serve You well. We want to serve Your people well. Love You. I love Your body. I love this church family, Lord. We ask that You would be with us this week. We go out lifting our voices in worship once again in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Doesn't stand a chance when I stand in Your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand.